of the Living Geek.
Hello and welcome to another Outwit, Outplay, Outcast. Joining, I'm Nick. Hello and welcome to another Outwit, Outplay, Outcast. I'm a host, Nick, and joining me right now is co-host Brian. Co-host Andy is out with his wife for her birthday and will be joining us at some point. Probably, but in the meantime, yeah, right? There are priorities, Andy. It's okay. You can skip one of these.
Yeah, he did last time.
So. Yeah. Well,
so if we had Kenneth filling in.
Yeah, if I had known. Well, actually, I don't know what we're going to do because folks don't know, but she's having a baby soon, so I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll work all that out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a thing. Worst case scenario, we can just fake it. Whatever.
I'll do Andy's voice.
You should do an Andy impression right now. What's something he would say?
Oh, God. Oh, I've got nothing.
Wait, no, he doesn't laugh like that. No. He doesn't laugh like that either. That was terrible. All right, well, then we'll just start. I don't know. Okay, so he wrote a note in here about Joe's hammocks. He can say whatever he wants about him. But so, yeah, Joe being very handy, that was nice. I don't know what he planned on saying about it other than Joe's hammocks are badass.
They are badass.
Yeah. Joe is going at this one a lot better. He's making friends this time, so that's good.
Well, friends that aren't just his age.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not alienating the deaf person, that sort of thing. So he's an improved game. And, I can't blame him. Sleeping on the ground sucks ass. We went camping over 4th of July, and somebody had set up a hammock. And, on the third night, I was like, fuck this. So I got out of my tent, walked, 200 feet down the hill. Thought, I'm going to get in this hammock. Somebody had taken it down to put up a movie projector. I was sad. I was really looking forward to that hammock. And then I got there and it was gone. I just did that slow Charlie Brown walk back to my tent.
Should have challenged him to a duel.
No, well, unfortunately, I didn't know who did it because it was 3 in the morning by then.
Oh, well.
So, yeah. Oh, well. Okay, so good job, Andy, on his hammocks. But the big one this time is Abby. Oh, I said in our last episode that she was going to have a meltdown at some point this season, and she had it. Although you and I are in agreement here, so I guess I'll read off Andy's note for the folks and then we'll respond to it, because we both of us agree. I'll let you go first, but he said that he legitimately feels bad for her, and that nobody should be laughed at to their face or have to feel that powerless or defenseless, even if they set themselves up for it. And I agree with that in principle, but I think you put it better.
Okay, so I don't ever get mad. Most people know, they've probably never seen me angry. But everything after the hammocks in this episode, everything really pissed me off. I was so livid when this episode was over. Starting with fucking Abby. Okay, so she's being a complete passive-aggressive bitch to everybody. She goes, but now nobody likes me. And so she's pouting about it. Why should somebody come to her defense for being a bitch?
Okay, what was really annoying me with her was she lashed out at, PG. She lashed out at PG, and she was saying, well, I had my name written down 4 times. It's look, yeah, and those people
game.
Yeah, and one of those people was voted off. So now, worst case scenario, next time 3 people vote for you, and you still get to stay. You're fine. Calm down. So I did not like that. But also, you could see her arguing style when she jumped on PG. PG and Spencer, I think it was, were just having this run-of-the-mill conversation about how to make an oven or a chimney or something. And Abby's just standing there, and then she's all smiles so what's happening? Why do you hate me? And it's just how do you respond to that? It's just, that's an attack. And then when PG's I don't hate you. It's just, she's Abby Marie took that as a personal attack on her. And so it makes it, I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. She's a hot-blooded person. That's just how she runs. But still, it's like this. This is all her own fault, practically.
Practically. It's completely all her own fault. Yeah. The worst part was when she was talking to Shireen about it, and she was like, I would have thought you, of all people, would have my back because you know what it's like. You're seriously comparing being a bitch and nobody liking you to being verbally abused. Are you shitting me?
Exactly.
Get over yourself, woman.
Yeah. And more, a little bit more to the point, everybody was mean to Shireen on that tribe. Not to the same degree. Like, Joe was nicer to her than, like, it was Will, it was Carolyn. Other people had been a little bit mean to her. Abby Marie provoked people into being mean to her. At least, as I said, according to the editing of this episode. For all we know, maybe it was worse. But, at the very least, according to something Shireen said after the fact, she had spent that entire day talking Abby Marie down. And then Abby Marie came up and yelled at them again. And Shireen did the greatest thing ever, where she's just like, oh, she's yelling at PG? So she just turned around and walked away.
She just took off.
It's like, done. I did my thing. But, I mean, that's the point. It's like, Abby Marie shouldn't feel so persecuted because there have been people trying to help her out this entire time. It's just, yeah, it is bad. And the worst thing, like Jeff Varner, that is, not Probst, Varner has her pegged completely. Like, he knows every handle on her to get her to do what he wants. So she's not even playing the game at this point. She's just being played.
Well, Varner is doing a good job of, like, staying in the background, but completely being in control.
Oh, it's fantastic. I now think that he, in the first episode, when he was like, oh my God, these guys are playing the game, and I didn't come to play the game. I think he was actually lying to the camera, like, when he said that. Like, he was trying to play us. I mean, he knows what he is doing. Jeff is really good. I'm enjoying him. And again, that soft southern twang, I could listen to that all day. Oh, here we go. Here's Andy. I'm gonna see if I can add him to the call somehow. I don't know how to do that. There we go. Is that you?
Hi.
Hey.
Cool. Welcome. What were we talking about again? We were talking about how much we love Jeff and how much we hate Abby. Well, I shouldn't say I hate Abby, but how much I feel bad for her. Like, she is... It's two of us against one here, by the way, because you're the Abby apologist. We both, Brian and I, don't like her that much.
I'm not saying she doesn't deserve a little bit of what happened to her, but, like, okay. I don't know what you guys have just covered.
We more or less read what you wrote down and then said, oh, how dare he say something that dumb.
Nobody deserves to have shit thrown. Like, okay. If you are not in this situation, if you're not in Survivor and you're drama queen and somebody does all this shit right in front of you, you can just walk away. You can leave the situation.
That's,
or you can do something
did.
More drastic. No, she tried to, but like, you're on a beach and they're laughing at you. You can hear it. There's not a whole lot of other noise happening.
They weren't laughing at her. They fucking went back and started talking about other shit, and she just assumed they're laughing about her.
Yes, that's true. But that's something that most human beings do. Well, and then somebody comes to her, and Jeff, and as much as he's good at this game, it's shitty of him to go from calling her his personal soap opera 5 minutes beforehand during confessional, and then turn around and try to be her valiant hero.
Yeah, that was Terry, but yeah.
No, Terry's the one who actually approached her.
Yeah.
But then Jeff came to Terry and was like, okay, let's make this an old school thing, and we'll bring Abby in, and then we'll use it to get this other person out. Like, Jeff was the one who orchestrated the let's bring Abby in and upset this old versus new alliance and flip that table and get rid of Shireen or Spencer. That was Jeff.
Well, we were just praising Jeff's gameplay.
Yeah. Well, also,
it's good gameplay. It's good gameplay, and it's a dick move to go from laughing at her to using her.
There is one difference I would point out, though, that Abby Marie was the one who would storm off. Like, you could see it when she was talking to Spencer and PG. We talked about that a little bit before you got here. Well, what essentially happened was she attacks PG. PG defends herself. Abby Marie takes that defense as an attack and then doubles down, right? And just keeps yelling. And then as soon as PG starts making points, she just walks right away. She's like, Abby Marie goes off into the forest and cries. And then apparently, and we didn't see this part, at least according to Shirin, we didn't see it. But apparently then Shirin went and sat with her for like the entire day, like the entire day. And so the next we see is at night when she has her second blow up. So, I mean, that's the thing is she.
There's this stuff that, I mean, obviously there's going to be editing here, but they do a decent job of making Abby a little bit sympathetic.
No, and I agree with you.
No,
but
I don't.
Well, okay, I sympathize with her a little bit, but on the other hand...
They try to make her sound sympathetic, but her personal model seems to be, you fuck with me and you're dead.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty sure she literally did say that last time.
Yeah.
She said it this episode.
Did she?
Yeah. She said it last time she was on. Yeah.
She said it this episode in a confessional that was just after she stabbed Shirin in the face. She and Shirin had that nice little conversation like, hey, are we good? Are we still together? And Abby Marie went straight up movie villain evil. She shook her head and laughed like, no, it's not my way. She's like, holy shit, you are insane.
Yeah, and to point out, if you're going to try and pull her into your alliance the way that Jeff and Terry did, that's still a bad idea, because all it takes is a fit of spite for her to just reveal your alliance's total plan in, like, a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think she's just not cut out for the game. No judgment of her as a person, whatever. This is an intense situation. Who knows how she would be in a real-life thing, but in the meantime... Holy crap. I would say vote her off immediately, except she's a great shield. She's a perfect ablative shield.
What did that mean anyway? That's not my way. What isn't? Being on her team side? What the hell did that mean?
I was trying to figure that one out. Yeah, it seemed like it was forgiveness or whatever, except she forgave all the people who voted for her, and I don't know.
Yeah, and then, she's suddenly their best friends.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Abby Marie was not a good choice. I don't know. So then we were talking about Jeff, and we both of us seemed to like Jeff.
His game is good and he's smart, but I don't appreciate his hypocrisy. And I don't think he was being hypocritical for the sake of the game. I think he really was just a hypocrite to be like, she's my personal soap opera, turn around, hey, welcome to my alliance, I got your back.
What's hypocritical about that? She's still a pain in the ass. Just because he's using her doesn't make her any less in the ass.
He makes fun of her and then turns around and says, I will protect you from getting made fun of.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, I will make you part of my alliance. And he gets
more Terry's thing.
Yeah, but he rode Terry's like coattails on that move. I'm going to say he did.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'm going to say I did.
You have the right to say it, but I think you're wrong.
Okay.
That's a good compromise. All right. So what else? I thought it was weird. We still haven't really seen that much of Bayonne. They've been focusing on Takeo because that whole tribe is a hot mess. Mm-hmm. But Bayonne, they showed a little bit this time around, and I guess it makes sense. They're clearly in the driver's seat, you know. They're the ones.
We get to see how Joe makes baller hammocks.
Yeah, exactly. They're the ones that are winning the challenges, so there isn't a whole lot of drama there yet, although it's starting to develop. It looks like it's all centered around Steven at the moment, and maybe that's just editing and his confessionals, because I don't think he's...
Bullshit.
Yeah. I don't think
bullshit.
I agree with you, actually, to a degree. I feel like Steven, he's not as jealous as the show is making him out to be, but I definitely think he's more jealous than he thinks he is. Like, he thinks he's cool with Joe and Terry. No, not Terry. Joe and Andrew Savage and all those others. I think he's a little less cool with them than he thinks he is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I absolutely hate Savage after this episode. I hate him with burning passion.
Why?
Oh, my God. So he gets up and he tells this story about how he met his wife. The whole story was she was this really hot model. She went to California and she came back. The end.
And we got married 3 weeks later.
What the fuck is that making everybody cry? What is tear jerking about that?
He loves it.
And the only guy who didn't, Fishbach, was just sitting there like, yeah, whatever. And then, what's the big black guy's name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. Yeah. Okay, Jeremy. Naturally, Fishbok thinks, well, he's probably searching for the idol, because that's what he did when he took off. And then, like a stupid total prick, Savage goes, he thinks you were looking for the idol, shows where his head is. It's in the game, you stupid asshole! Like, yours should be right now. You're playing this freaking game!
Yeah. It's more the old school, new school bullcrap.
Okay, yeah, it is a little bit paranoid to think, oh, he's gone off by himself. He's clearly searching for the idol. Because then, anyone who goes off to poop is searching for the idol at that point. At the same time, it's completely silly on Savage's part to think, oh, well, that was just dumb. How dare you? Also, that story was kind of silly. It's like, yeah, so I saw her at my house, and she was super hot, and then she went away. And then she came back, and then 3 weeks later, we were married. It's like, did you maybe go out with her at all? I mean,
that would get a golf clap from me. Basically, you're saying you married her because she was hot.
Yeah, I mean,
congrats, bro.
It seems like it's worked out for him. Don't get me wrong, but still, at the same time, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, some people, all they need in life is a trophy wife.
Yeah,
that's all they need to be happy.
It's like, come on, Andrew, you are representing San Jose. You are better than that. You're not representing Chicago like you are in whatever season it was you were on before. Now you're representing the Yay area.
God damn it.
My God.
Come on, get good and hyphy. Is that still a thing?
Just for that one thing you just said, I'm glad I don't live there anymore. God. But no, I want to go back. I miss it.
Yeah, it's just way too expensive. That's why he knew his wife was good, because she could afford to live out here, I guess.
Yeah, she has money and she's hot. Apparently, that's all he needs.
Yeah, like, it's funny also when he was describing her, he didn't describe what she likes or anything. He just said, "I met the hottest brunette I have ever seen." It's like, okay, does she? I don't know. Does she like scandal? I mean, tell us something about her. And everyone's getting all weepy, teary eyed. I'm sure. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm sure he actually really does love her, because he did seem to be genuinely moved in missing her. But at the same time, it's like, come on, guy.
I'm sure the story was.
It was like 5 days ago.
Yeah, yeah. You've seen her before. It's like, it's all right. People are weird. All right, what else have we got before we get into the immunity? You wrote a note here, Andy, about Shirin maybe loving the game too much. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, just the way she's, I don't know, the overthinking, the being too active. You come into the game expecting it to be one thing, and you expect it, and you're working towards it, and you act like it's that way. Except then nobody else around you is as playing as hard as you are, and that sets you apart, and anything that sets you apart is bad.
I see your point, and that definitely was the case in the previous season she was in, but I feel like it didn't really bite her this badly this time around. Like, she was with people who are playing, she seems to have been doing okay.
Like, last week we were saying this is her element, but now maybe it's still not.
Well,
like, if her and Fishbok and, like, if all of the overthinkers were on one tribe, it might be okay.
Well, the thing of it is, Jeff, at least, okay, this is what he said in his confessional. Whether it's true or not, or it's just something he justified after the fact, that remains to be seen. But what he said was that he, Terry, Kelly Wigglesworth, and some other, they're one alliance, and Vitus was part of their alliance, but he wanted to motivate his people, so he threw Vitus to the wolves. And that's what he seems, and it seems to have worked. I mean, now he's clearly in the catbird seat. He's running this game at the moment, at least on that tribe.
At the moment.
At the moment.
I don't know, I feel like power plays really early are not a great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of silly, and I agree with you on that. But I don't know, so that's the point, is I feel like she got played by, or Shirin, that is, got played by him, but it's not her overthinking it that got her played. It was just, that was this guy's strategy going into it. Game recognized game.
What ruined her was she apparently has, like, this force field around her where everybody just suddenly decides they hate her for no fucking reason. What was that all about? Like, so Abby was sad, and she didn't go to Abby's side. What? Why was it her responsibility? No one else went to her side either. I mean, besides Terry. Like, all of a sudden, so Abby's sad, so Shirin is the worst person in the universe. Like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, and especially because, as we learned by reading interviews after the fact, Shirin had spent the entire day with Abby. It's like, you know what? If I spent, 6 hours with someone, calming them down, and then as soon as we get apart, they blow up and get angry again. I'm just like, yeah, I'm done for the day. I'm clocking out. I'm going to go find my couch and sip a mojito, and I am done for the day. Someone else's. It's the night shift.
Yeah, not worth it at all.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. Everybody could use some therapy, but Abby Marie could use a little bit more than most. She's got anger problems. I don't know. Who cares? That'll all get edited out. So, after that, we go to the immunity challenge, which again was immunity and reward for double fantasy points yet again. I don't know. It was actually a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. Joe was amazing. Like he always is.
He's good. Joe. But you know, Spencer, for my money, Spencer was a little bit better. So it was climb three obstacles of varying angle or whatever, and then lose a ton of skin and hear Jeff talk to you in porn terms, such as, there's a lot of skin left on this wood. Giggity. Yeah. Survivor porn needs to be a thing.
I'm pretty sure it already is.
Oh no! So if you ever have,
I already know there is a subreddit devoted to the hot female contestants of Survivor, and it's creepy pictures of them on the course.
Oh, I didn't mean that. No. I meant super weird. Don't 9 days from now, when the hockey season starts, do yourself a favor on Twitter and search Twitter hashtag hockey porn, and you'll just hear all the weird double entendres, usually involving stick handling or putting it in the net, that sort of thing. Yeah, people have a habit of posting those up to Twitter.
Something, something, five hole.
Basically, yeah. Oh, he slips around back and grabs his man the stick side, that sort of thing.
Ramming him up against the boards.
Exactly. That is hashtag hockey porn. We need hashtag survivor porn. Regardless, though, so, legit. You know, go up the three things, lose a whole bunch of skin, and that looked fucking painful going yes. down that thing, and then put together a puzzle. Oh, no, actually, and a nice little twist was you had to drag the box with you, the box of all the puzzle pieces, and it looks like Takeo could not win for losing because they were pulling it, and then it got stuck on something twice. And they lost a lot of time that way.
Did that happen? Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah, you see that? Oh my god, that was the thing that sucks. Alert. So you had to like pull the rope or pull the box with a rope, and it would go up a little incline, down a little incline. For them, anytime it went down that incline, it would just get stuck at the bottom of that, and then they have to like jerk it a whole bunch of times. More survivor porn. Jerk it a bunch of times to get it right back up the incline. And yeah, it's just, I felt so bad for them. But even with that, and even with PG and somebody else not doing very well on the puzzle at the end, they still managed to nearly win because of Spencer and to a lesser extent, Shirin. I feel like Spencer did the lion's share of the work on that one.
Shirin might have been a bit of a detriment in the beginning. You could just see her aggressively shouting orders. Yeah. It's like, why didn't you volunteer to go up there? Like, I understand the gameplay, like, of the person who fucks up, then they take the fall. But, like, if you really had this, you should have been up there from the beginning, because that might be why you were, I don't know, or commit to the strategy of, I ain't going up there. Do one of the two.
They determine who does what way before the challenge even starts. So I'm sure PG, who was the other puzzle person? It was another woman. Was it Kelly?
It was Kelly.
Well, yeah, it was PG.
That was PG.
Well, it was, there were two. I think it was PG and Kelly, but I can't remember right now. Let's go with that. Okay. Yeah. Kelly sure. Wentworth, rather. I don't know. I'm sure that the two of them volunteered, and so Shirin and Spencer were just like, all right, cool. And then once they saw that they were losing, that they knew how the puzzle worked, I think that's when they tagged in.
Yes.
Yeah. And in fairness, like, the first time around, because I still watch these twice, first time around, I could not tell how they did the puzzle wrong. Like, it looked perfectly fine to me, but I guess it's it was supposed to be a mirror.
One of them was facing the wrong way.
Yeah,
they had to switch the entire whole person on the puzzle.
Yeah, I only caught that on the second one, and that was the thing. It's just like, that is so ticky-tack to lose on, so... As in my, you know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. It's a loss. I'm not saying like they got robbed or anything, but it's just
Jeff was talking about how it flowed from one to the next, one board to the next, all the way from one end to the other. And it didn't. There was in the middle, there was a break.
Yeah. The sorry, branch. Jeff. Yeah. That's why he kept specifically saying that it's one thing all the way.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it was little two little Cambodian dancers with pasties on. Little odd. Yeah, so anyway, Takeo once again loses, which really helps Steven over on Bayonne, because I have a feeling that if they lose a challenge, he would be the first one out. Takeo loses, they get to go to Tribal Council again, and they get to talk, and all of a sudden, a whole lot of bullshit happens.
Yeah, this was a bullshit fest, because this is the most bullshit, like, sugar-coated Tribal I've ever seen, because they cast it as, you're running around, and you're playing the game, when really it should be about getting to know people. And they're sugarcoating it, and it's about getting to know people. And you didn't take the time to get to know anybody. You just came out here and played the game. But that's bullshit, because really, it's about you feeling threatened because you don't know how the game is played anymore. And you see somebody who is good at it, and so you're all going to gang up on her. And really, like, the whole coming valiantly to the fence or getting to know Abby, getting to know her as a person, all that kind of stuff, or getting to know anybody, it's just because she's somebody that you can beat out later. Like, you know that. It's a terrible to have the strategy early, like, to get rid of your smart people and to get rid of your people who are good game players, especially if you're in an alliance. You want somebody who's going to be the schemer who then later on you can cut slack on. Like, Shireen is the person you take with you to sway people, to get the numbers, to figure out what's going on, and then you stab her in the back a step before she stabs you.
Yeah.
It's not a good strategy. And all of this, it's such bullcrap. Getting to know people. I was so pissed at Tribal. Like, are you fucking kidding me? That's complete bullshit. It has nothing to do with getting to know people. It's so dumb.
The other thing is that Jeff had clearly stabbed both groups in the back, and somehow he managed to get off scot-free on it. That's just because of the way he was smooth-talking them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the worst part about this Tribal absolutely was Wu, little asshole.
Ugh.
So Shireen owns up to, like, everything that's happening to her, and she goes, it's my fault. Anything, it's my mistake. It absolutely was not. Okay, but while she's saying that, Wu's shaking her head at her like, fuck you. Like, what is your problem?
Oh, we established this last week. He's a bit of a dumb.
Yeah. He's here, like, to try and be good at challenges and skate along for as long as he can.
As Shireen said, until he loses a challenge, doesn't get immunity, and then gets voted off. And he's like, well, I guess it's cool, man. It's cool. I'll be sixth place. It's fine. That's my lot in life. It's okay. That's where I want to be. I hope he doesn't make the jury, because I really don't want to hear him give a speech.
Well, just like earlier in the episode when Shireen came to talk to him and was trying to get him on her side, I can understand if you have some other plans, but his reason was just like, well, this is the first time you've tried to be on my side, so I'm not your friend. I don't want to play with you.
Yeah.
What a douche.
You never talk to me, man. It's like, we've been here 4 days. I've been babysitting this Brazilian dragon for half this time.
Yeah, everybody has.
What do you want me to do? Again, real life, probably a very nice person. A little bit dumb. But, in game, a lot bit dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spencer, I felt, he gave a good bullshit fest. You know, he was just talking like,
anybody
but me was what he wanted to say. And you know what? Both he and Shireen, I give them credit for realizing this other person, in Shireen's case it was Spencer, in Spencer's case Shireen, this other person is the only one who has been true to me, and they're the only one I want to play with, and now I have to vote them out. This sucks. It sucks. And so I feel like they both understand. Neither of them is going to be mad at one another, but I have a feeling Spencer may not be long for this game. This does not seem to... Well, you know, that's the thing, is aside from Jeff, who is very good at hiding the fact that he's playing the game, this does not seem to be a game for people who are playing the game. You got Steven on the outs, you've got Shireen already gone, you've got Spencer on the outs, Kelly Wigglesworth, all she seems to be doing is making fire, cooking food, catching fish, and just playing camping. Like, she does not seem to be playing anything else. She thinks it's still 2001.
2000 is
14
years ago.
Yeah. Math.
My first year of college. I remember that. Yeah. No, it's just, yeah. I'm not too impressed with some of the returning folks. I don't know. Maybe we'll get lucky. Some big stuff has happened at the end of this episode. Maybe we'll get lucky and some real gameplay will happen, but who knows?
Fingers crossed.
All right.
Damn it.
Yeah, pretty
I'm
much.
I'm losing.
Yeah. Well,
already.
Not only that, but like last week was, everyone hates Vitus. This week it's like, everyone loves Shireen. Unfortunately, she just can't catch a break. Although I will say, reading stuff today after the fact, it sounds like she was perfectly at peace with this, you know, and appreciates the fact that she was voted off for being a threat.
Well, and at least she got to play in an environment that wasn't about misogyny.
Yeah.
At least there's that. At least the season, her experience hasn't been designed by misogyny.
Little bit of Terry.
Little bit, but not like...
That's more entitled. Same thing.
Not saying that she has no soul.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's it. Everyone
Nobody
here,
has called her soulless.
Ugh. Give him three more days.
I feel like we would have.
Yep.
Don't like it. But next episode, it's all going to change, which is great. I love this. I expected a swap because one tribe is just getting pummeled left, right, and center and not winning anything. I did not expect them to merge and split into three tribes. That is a pretty impressive switcheroo.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You sound they're, like they're really they've been like... They're not, like, really, like, getting dominated. There's only been two challenges, you know. Barely lost the last one.
I feel like they've been getting... Well, also, all the creature comforts that the other tribe's been winning creates a win-more attitude. I think this is just a very nice twist. A twist.
It's a twist.
Someone call M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, it's legitimate, it's a good change-up to what they normally do. Just like with the Immunity Isle. I feel like with... Everybody having played before and everybody probably being those overthinkers, overplayers because they've been thinking about it for so long. They do need to really, really try and think outside the box of the season and try different stuff. And it's good because they can try it with these people and it fits the season. And then if it works, if it's good, just keep fucking using it. Good shit.
I had a point that I was going to say and I unfortunately... Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I
rolled right the fuck over you.
Actually, no. It was you said it yourself, actually, that everyone thinks they were so damn smart setting up these alliances. All right. Well, once again, we have our bets and we still have no... Our first out people are still hanging strong. Partly because I realized they're all in the same tribe and that tribe has not yet lost anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Funny how we did that.
Oops. So Tasha, Cass, and Keith are all still in the game. I'm feeling bad about mine. We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Still feeling good about mine.
Who's your? Are you Tasha or are you Cass?
I'm Tasha. The first time Tasha played, she was super nice. And this time she was like, I'm not out here to make friends. And that means you're out here to lose.
The other bet, once again,
full on genitals.
And now that Shirin's out, I'm feeling pretty good about winning this one. Because I don't think anyone else has a history of nudity. So.
History, no, but I'm pretty sure.
When does
some
this
of those
one
tribe
end?
Members get Joe naked?
The jury merge. Joe's not going to get naked, no matter how much Tasha wants it to happen.
No matter how much Savage wants him to.
Yeah. No matter how much we, the viewing audience, want him to.
No matter how much Savage's daughters want him to. Everybody got 2 points because either you won immunity and reward, which they got 1 point for each, went
to... That's not true, Andy.
Not everybody got
unless
2 points.
Unless you had Shireen.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Nick and I both have 12, and Brian had Shireen, so he's got 4 from this week. So you have to add somebody. Who are you going to add, Brian?
Damn it. I want the person who's taken.
Well, who do you want?
Fishbok.
Oh, no, I'm keeping him.
Yeah, that's what I thought. all right.
If it was Savage, I'd be like, maybe I'll give him to you.
Oh, God, no. I hate him. Just not, no.
Is he the Rodney of the season? Not in terms of meatheadedness.
So far.
So you want to pick up Jeremy?
No. Damn it. God, I don't like anyone. I hate everyone who's left.
I was going to say Keith, but you already own Keith.
Yeah. Well, Keith is cool.
Cass.
You know what? I hate her, but Abby's not going anywhere. So I'm going to pick up Abby.
Add Abby. All right. All right. I'm good with my team. Joe, Kelly, Wentworth, and Monica. I'm set.
I love my team, so I'm going to stick with it. I think at this point, the only two people I would want that I don't have are Joe and Keith, and both of them are taken. So until I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel, I have a feeling that Steven's probably going to be going fairly soon, but hopefully he can eke something out. All right. I think that about wraps it up. Kind of a short one because this episode was actually kind of like we kind of knew where it was going.
Hey, guys, what's going on here?
What?
So I'm just doing my Abby Maria.
Oh, geez. I was like, wait, are you being... Is there a home invasion going on over there?
Oh, okay, she was standing there the whole time while they're having the conversation. What's going on, PG?
Yeah. Oh, man, that was so
exactly
awkward.
What we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm very glad that you have her on your team, Brian.
You're going to laugh when she wins. God. You'll be laughing out of the other side of your face, Andy.
We're all going to laugh, and I am never going to watch this show again. Never.
No, there's a 0% chance that she's going to win the game. I can tell you right now.
Actually, you know what? Who do we? We'll do this. I mean, granted, it's only the second week of the show, so it's a little bit premature. But who do you think is going to be winning if it were to end today? Mm. We'll eke out another couple minutes this way because it is kind of a pro forma episode. Joe. We'll see. You think Joe would win?
People love Joe.
That's why he's not going to win.
Yeah, like, I feel like he's going to get, like, people love Joe, and the same thing's going to happen as last season. People are going to love him, he's going to lose a challenge, people are going to realize how big a threat he is, and then he's gone.
Well, that's what somebody said this episode.
Yeah.
Let him hang around, let him feed you, let him build your camp, and then cut him.
That was Fishbook.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, in one of his nice little asides. If things stay as they are, I think it's going to be Savage. No, I'm sorry, not Savage. Ooh, fuck that guy. No, Jeff. I have a feeling it's going to be him on account of he's perfectly playing both alliances on his tribe. And he seems to be so smooth that I think he could make it even past this next three tribe hurdle. What about you, Brian? Who do you think? Who's your money on? If you go to Vegas right now.
I would say Terry, because he totally took the mic roll, and Mike won. So.
The only difference is that Mike was a really nice guy deep down. Terry's kind of a piece of shit. Not totally.
But kind of.
Like, he's no Will, he's no Rodney, but he's just kind of like one of those guys you're like, yeah, we get it. All right, we get it. He said some dumbass things in his season, and he's said some dumbass things so far this season. Not horrible. Again, no calling anyone soulless, but just kind of like, all right, just keep your mouth shut. Just look pretty, okay? All right, I think that covers it then. We're good. Yeah. Well, as I said, this one, like, the early episodes, there isn't a whole lot to say because there's usually a very clear... There's so many people... in each still in the game at this point that they can't tell everyone's story, so they just tell like one story. It's when you get about when you're down to like maybe 10 people that you can start to have B plots or whatever, and that's when things get really interesting. So I think that covers us for this week. I thought of a way of signing off, but I have a feeling that it's been taken by literally any and every other Survivor podcast. I was gonna say that the podcast has spoken. But again, I'm so sure that everyone said that I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, that's super cheesy too.
Yeah. Oh well, super cheesy. Come on, that's us to a T. Let's face it.
Hey, come on. We don't do one called the Without Playout Cast. That's not.
Well,
nothing cheesy about this.
This was going to be an Outcast fan podcast, but you know, it's been a while since they put out a record, and whatever.
This is me laughing.
A terrible joke. Yeah, no, let's, silence was the appropriate response to that joke.
Well, I mean, it's not even spelled right, you know.
Autocorrect, god damn it. Okay, well then in that case, we will see you guys next week, and thank you again. Oh shit, I forgot to mention that we are a Night of the Living Geeks thing. That's alright. You can visit them at notlg.com. You can visit us at outwitoutplayoutcast.com. Alright, well in that case we will see people next week when we find out what happens with the three-way split, and have fun.
Alright, bye everybody.
Night of the Living Geeks.